We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Aditi Kingabala of the NFL Network. Hello, Aditi. How are you?
I'm great, but I'm a little confused. Yeah. Have you really eaten every single steak on the Delmonico's menu?
I do not lie on the radio, Aditi.
You've had them all.
I have had every steak on the menu.
Don't people who eat steaks like their steak a particular way like a particular steak?
Yes, and my favorite steak is the New York Strip, and that's the one I have most often. But first of all, Dustin and I have been there a couple of times with the owners where they invite us to like taste some of the steaks, and so we've tried some there. But I like to, but since I'm an adventurous steak eater, so I like to try all the different ones. And so I've had every one at least once, but I've had some many times.
So that you can say that.
There you go.
What about you, Dustin? What's your favorite?
Filet.
Huh.
What's your favorite steak generally?
I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. That's right.
But I've been to Burn Steakhouse in Tampa numerous times.
Okay.
Have you ever been there? Where they like actually hang the steak and they show you like how long it's been aging down
there? I've heard about this place.
Yes, and they have a whole special fancy dessert room. Do the Browns play at the Bucks this year?
I think they.
Yes,
they play the Bucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys should score yourselves a trip there.
Yeah.
So you can go to Burn Steakhouse.
Dave's going.
I think I tried to get a reservation when I went to Tampa a few years back, and I couldn't get in.
Should have pulled the
Wow.
I should have.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I should have pulled the
card. As much of a big shot as you are? Did you drop Dustin's name?
He'd got in if you would have.
Right.
Should have.
Maybe Hugh Jackson's name. Maybe if you dropped Hugh Jackson's name,
true.
That would help.
I doubt it.
Not much longer, Aditi. I thought it
was. Easy.
Hello.
That was not nice.
Listen, Aditi.
No comment.
Yeah,
I don't know if Peter John Baptiste calling me.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, well, he certainly won't call me. I know that. He better not. Anyway, Aditi, let's talk about I think it's interesting. This tie is such a bizarre thing. What have you've been in the Steelers locker room since the tie, right? Or no?
I have.
Okay.
Yes.
What was there? Like, they have to be miserable about this.
Oh, 100%. And in fact, I had multiple players tell me Monday. I mean, on Sunday, everyone felt defeated, deflated. People kept calling it a loss, not a tie.
Right.
And Adam, you and I had talked about this ourselves. I feel like the loss was on the Browns and the Steelers got to kind of escape with a tie. You know, like
that's
they
how
got
it felt.
Lucky to walk out of that town.
Yes.
Having committed 6 turnovers to get to walk out with a tie for them is essentially a quote unquote a win. You know, like, gosh, you escaped. And on what planet do you turn the ball over 6 times and not lose? So in that sense, but there was no relief. There was absolutely a sense of this is a loss. And on Monday, multiple guys in the Steelers locker room said, this feels even worse than it felt yesterday.
Yeah.
Like it felt like another loss almost.
It's bizarre. Why do you think that Big Ben played so poorly in that game? I mean, I know he put up some big numbers and they still, you know, obviously they won. They didn't win the game, but they tied. But the interceptions, he was inaccurate. I know the weather was a concern, but he just didn't look like himself.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll say this, Dustin. Mike Tomlin said this yesterday. He said, if weather is really a concern and an excuse, then isn't it a concern and an excuse on both sides?
Yeah, of course.
If the weather caused the Steelers to commit turnovers, then why didn't it cause the Browns to commit turnovers? So, like, that's a wash. That doesn't count. The interceptions, look, clearly there was some sort of a miscommunication with Antonio Brown. Ben Roethlisberger thought he was cutting right. Antonio Brown cut left. He probably didn't run that route. He ran it a little flat. He probably shouldn't have. Okay, that's a bad one. The interception with Jesse James. That one, I mean, he tipped it. He threw the ball to Jesse James. Jesse James tipped it. It's your job to come down with the ball. The interception where he threw into crazy traffic to Antonio Brown, yeah, that's not a great play. And the fumble, definitely not great plays. I think the fumble that James Conner had, though, was an exceptional play by Myles Garrett, and he deserves credit for that. You know, at some point, a great player makes a play, whatever you're doing. But to go back to Ben Roethlisberger, this isn't really a huge surprise. I mean, he's been terrible on the road. Going back to last year, he's thrown an interception in 8 of 9 road games.
Yeah.
His numbers on the road are significantly worse, significantly. His passer rating is 10 points lower on the road than it is at home. The Steelers also are generally pretty slow out of the gate, And the Steelers also have a tendency to play down to certain opponents. I mean, witness the fact, didn't the Browns nearly beat them twice last year?
Yeah, well, week one was a really close game.
Yeah.
You know, that started with the block punt, but it was a really close game last year, too.
Right, so I mean, I'm not willing to right now write off the Steelers and say, oh, they're done. It's almost like play to type. If they had come out and dominated, you would have felt like, oh, this is a different Steelers team to some degree. But imagining a really close game, not to take anything away from who the Browns are. I mean, I thought their defense was unbelievably impressive. And Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward are the real thing. And for everybody who wondered, why was John Dorsey drafting Denzel Ward with the number 4 overall pick? I hope that all of those people who asked that question are done asking that question.
I think most people are, but to be fair, like I think the you know, I agree with you on both those guys, but I think the general overreaction, good or bad, to week one in the NFL to me is crazy. I was watching your network earlier today, and I saw Nate Burleson, who I love, and he knows the game well, talk about how he can't wait to watch the Ravens and Bengals because they both look like great teams right now, and I'm like, they played one game, and the Bengals didn't play
nobody
great against
the Nobody looks great. Come on. Nobody looks great in the first month of the season. I mean, that's not real. If you talk to any coach will tell you it takes you at least a month to figure out what you have.
But even football people overreact to the first game. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. 100%. But, I mean, it just takes a while to get going. There's no real practices anymore, you know? There's no two-a-days. You're not hitting that much. It takes a month just to tackle properly.
Yeah. Yes. Especially when guys are playing less and less in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, look at, and, you know, you sit here and I'm sorry, this is such an old school thought, and I'm sure a million people will disagree with me, but how can you not practice in the preseason or not play in the preseason at all and expect to just come out and dominate? Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, yes, they have probably the best chemistry of any wide receiver quarterback duo in the NFL. Okay, like, I don't know that that's really an arguable point. Ben Roethlisberger throws the ball where he has no business throwing it, and Antonio Brown comes down and catches it just because of the chemistry the two of them have. They didn't play together even once the entire preseason.
Right.
You're telling me it's just like muscle memory? You know, they didn't really play together during the OTAs. Both of them missed a lot of the OTAs.
Yeah,
I just feel like you need
it.
To practice with each other. Sorry.
I get it. No, you're fair enough. Aditi Kinkabal is with this NFL Network. Aditi, what do you make of the Josh Gordon starting, but Hugh Jackson not knowing about it, or not knowing that he was going to start, or I don't know. The whole thing's weird because Todd Haley, maybe the speculation is Todd Haley went above Hugh Jackson's head and just started him anyway. We don't know what the heck happened. What do you think happened?
I think that's ridiculous. I think that's like this whole storyline of all things. I mean, do you guys not find this like really absurd?
Of course. It's stupid to even be having a conversation about it.
Well, and it's funny that you say this because I was just reading a whole story that Cleveland.com, that Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com wrote about it. And I'm just like, my God, of everything that came out of that game, this is the scandal.
But Hugh made it a bigger deal. Hugh kept bringing it up last week. And then, you know, after the game, he could have just said, no matter what happened, Hugh should have said, and we changed our mind. That's it. And moved on. We would all moved on. But anyway.
Well, especially since last year there was precedent set where Josh Gordon didn't sit after having been absent for a long period of time.
Right.
So,
exactly.
I mean, I will say this. I cannot speak for anybody else, but I did get to know Todd Haley a fair amount in 6 years in Pittsburgh. I just do not see him being a person who actively went out of his way to subvert his head coach. I mean, I can think of probably a dozen scenarios in Pittsburgh where he would have liked to do something that the head coach didn't want to do, and he followed the head coach.
Right.
So to sit here and, you know, wonder if there's some more scandal or controversy to that, I mean, take them at their word. If Hugh Jackson says that he didn't properly communicate it to his wide receivers coach and his offensive coordinator that he wanted Josh Gordon to sit, then fine.
Aditi, let's talk about Tyrod.
Okay.
I know you've been a defender. Let me give you a couple stats.
Defend that performance.
And listen, the whole offense stunk. We grant you that. The whole offense was bad. He didn't get a ton of help. But the 15 of 40 is terrible. The yards per attempt is terrible. In the overtime, he was awful. In Steelers territory, he was 2 for 16 for 18 yards. And I'll take it even further. Last 9 games he's played, going back to last year, he's completed 54% of his passes. He's thrown 5 touchdowns and 4 picks and averaged 5.71 yards per attempt. All hideous numbers.
So this is hard, right? This is hard.
Yeah.
I've
yes.
been all in on him, so now I have to sort of stick with that or, you know, acknowledge if something has potentially changed. But I'm still not a non-believer. Let's say it that way. I'm still a believer. And here are a few points that I'd like to make. I
yes.
think that any quarterback needs to create chemistry with his wide receivers. One of the issues that we've talked about with Tyrod Taylor from the very beginning is he too risk-averse? Has he been, I'll ask you this, when was the last time that Tyrod Taylor threw a pick six? Or how many does he have in his career that he's thrown a pick six?
I don't know that
couldn't tell you.
Stat offhand.
Zero.
Okay.
He's never, ever, ever thrown a pick six. He saw Sam Darnold do it in his very first attempt.
Right.
Tyrod Taylor has never done that. So part of that is because he's cautious. Part of that is because he's been coached to be very cautious. This has been a storyline all during camp. As you recall, it was a question that I asked him. Okay, it's part of being safe with the ball, also perhaps not taking chances. And he said that that's something that he needs to do. And then Jarvis Landry said that's something that wide receivers need to prove to him that he can do. So how much practice has Taylor had with Callaway? Not very much. How much has he had with Gordon? Not very much. How much has he had with Landry? A lot. Who did he throw the ball to 15 times? Landry. He's got more faith and trust in what he can have with Jarvis Landry. Now, he throws that pick to Josh Gordon, and you can say that he didn't get enough air on that ball. I've been told that Gordon didn't exactly do what was expected to be done. Taylor was throwing a back shoulder throw. That's not what Josh Gordon was expecting. There was clearly some sort of miscommunication there. I'm talking about that pick in overtime.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there are things that I'm not absolving Tyrod Taylor. I'm not saying, oh, he played a great game and David Njoku dropped multiple balls and there were two key third down drops. I'm not saying that he played this perfect game and nobody helped him. That's not it at all. But he was running for his life. He had a brand new fresh left tackle who certainly looked a little rough. We saw Nick Chubb completely get blown up on a blitz. I mean, the guy, thank goodness for his escapability. Otherwise, he could have been killed back there,
yeah.
And he still took the 7 sacks. I mean, it was just an ugly performance all around.
Yeah.
But I would sit here and say David Njoku needs to catch the ball a little bit. Josh Gordon needs to be a little bit more precise.
All these things are fair. Everybody played poorly, Tyrod included. But all offseason, when fans would when I would say Tyrod is who he is, which is solid, but I don't think he's going to be any better here. Well, the argument was always, well, he's got better talent, and I know
right.
it's one game. But if we're 5 weeks in and he's still struggling, we can't say before the season he's got more talent and then blame the talent the whole season.
Okay, but how much talent does Ben Roethlisberger have, and what did he look like?
He didn't look good.
I mean, he's got Antonio Brown around him, Juju Smith-Schuster. He's got a young receiver that they were crazy about in James Washington. He's got James Conner that everybody says, if not for cancer, would be a first-round pick. He's
yep.
got an offensive line that's one of the top three in the league. And Ben Roethlisberger looked like crap.
I agree with that. But I'm confident that Ben Roethlisberger will play great at times this season. I'm not confident that Tyrod will play great at any point this season.
I mean, and that's very fair, right? Because we haven't
yeah.
necessarily really seen that. But
right.
I'm also saying, which is where we started the conversation, nobody looked particularly good. I mean,
that's
we said this. It's too early to make any sort of major statements on anybody.
That's
for
correct.
The positive or the negative
yep.
at this point.
Fair enough. Aditi, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Well, thanks for having
there
me.
There you go. Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.